Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
I invite you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians, toward the end of your New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You have your first bowl of homemade ice cream. As the summer months come on, and you grab that bowl and you get the biggest spoon you can find and you begin to just enjoy it so fast that all of a sudden your head is about to explode because you get a brain freeze. You ate your ice cream so fast. That experience is called referred pain. It wasn't that your head was really what was in pain or was where the source was. It was in your mouth. I went to the dentist some time ago. Called him up and said, I got to get in. I've got a tooth that's going out. I'm probably going to have another root canal. And I am in serious pain. And so they scheduled me in. I got in there. He examined me. And then he wrote me out a prescription for a sinus infection. I said, a sinus infection? I've got a toothache. He said, no, you have a sinus infection, and what you're experiencing is referred pain. I had a headache, and I went to the doctor, and I didn't have a problem with my head. Now, don't argue, don't get smart about that. What I had was a pulled muscle in my back. And whenever he mashed on that, the pain went right up to between my ears, that hollow spot between my ears. And he said, what you are experiencing is referred pain. Some people have experienced numbness in their legs. They go to the doctor and say, what's wrong with my legs? What's wrong with my feet? And the doctor examines them, sends them to a specialist, and there's nothing wrong with their legs. They have a pinched nerve in their spine. You have a pain in your left arm. And it's not that your arm is what the problem is, but rather you have the symptom that you're having a heart attack, and you have referred pain. Referred pain is not something that just happens physically, but it also happens emotionally. You have a broken heart, and it shows in your eyes and all over your face. Just like whenever Nehemiah stood before King Artaxerxes and the king said, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? And he looked at him and he said, this is not an illness. This is sadness of heart, because he could look at his countenance and see the referred pain from his emotions showing in his eyes and on his face. It happens socially. You're having a problem with a boss, and that boss is just terrible to work for. And doesn't matter what you try to do, you can't please that boss. And then you go home to coach that little league team, and the boys can do nothing right. And what they are experiencing is referred pain, because it's not that they are really being that bad as players are that bad in practice. It's just that you have so much pain going on somewhere else that you are expressing it and others are having to feel it. It happens spiritually. You've tried to do everything right. You've tried to obey the word. And yet, the church just isn't going the way you think it ought to go. And all you can see are the problems that you feel are there. And you blame God. You put the pain on Him. Referred pain. That's the condition. What's the cause? Well, the cause, first of all, sometimes it's purely a medical condition. Sometimes you really aren't having a spiritual problem. You're having a medical problem. And you just didn't realize that's what it was. Sometimes you are having a medical problem and it's causing you emotional problems. People's bodies, the chemical imbalance or the chemical balance gets out of whack. When my youngest son was born, I was at the hospital there. And interesting, now this is at the old San Jacinto Hospital, for those of you that came over with me on the Mayflower. And so on one end, you got off the elevator, you walked to the hallway, you turned left to go to the maternity ward, you turned right to go to the psychiatric ward. No idea why that ended up that way, the way it did, but anyway. So I was leaving the hospital, and as I was leaving and I got to the door where I turned right to go into where the elevators are. Here comes a man, scrawny, little fella, coming down the hallway, and he's staggering, and here came two people that work for the hospital saying, "Help us, help us." And I thought, I'll dispatch this in a hurry. And I grabbed him and I spun him around and I was going to hold him, and he got his arm out and he came around and whopped me upside the head. I felt like throwing him out the window. And anyway, they got there, and so some weeks later, of course, visiting the hospitals, I would be there anyway, and some weeks later I saw those two people that were chasing that man that day. I said, "Say, how is that person? How is that person doing?" He said, "You would not recognize that person." Said, "He had a chemical imbalance. Something in his system just got out of whack, and we were able to give him some medications that got everything back in order, and you just wouldn't recognize him." Sometimes people simply have a medical condition that causes them to experience or causes you to experience their pain. Now, I've been around a lot of medical conditions. I've had some conditions of my own. I've seen lots of doctors and been in the hospitals, and I have been with many of you whenever you have had medical, physical issues. And so if you have issues sometimes, I hear about them, I might can advise you what doctor to go see. I sure can't diagnose you. I could help you by just telling you need to see a doctor, and I might be able to help you find a good doctor. But not all causes are medical causes. Many causes are a spiritual condition. And they come about generally from two sources. One is Satan. Satan does his best, first of all, to bring about confusion in everyone's life, in your mind, in your thoughts, confuse you about what's going on, convince you of the facts that you have and how you interpret them, and you perceive that this person or these people or this church or that church or these relatives or this spouse or those children or these parents feel this way about you. And Satan will fuel that every chance he gets and cause you great confusion. And don't consider yourself a privileged character. It happened with the first man and woman. There Eve was in the garden. And she was looking at the garden, and the serpent came to her, and Satan said to her through the serpent, "Can you not eat of all the fruits and vegetables in the garden?" "Oh, yes, all except that one over there." And he, you know, I want to tell you something. Do not get in a conversation with the devil. He's just too clever. You have a problem with the devil, tell Jesus on him, okay? Just tell Jesus on him. You know, you want to stand toe to toe, "I rebuke thee, devil." "Oh, really? Oh, really?" You get into a conversation. I would just rather you say, "Jesus, sick him." Now, you know, there's conversations, and then there are conversations. You're going to get into a conversation with Satan, you're not going to win. But now, if you tell a cat to scat, that's not conversation either. But Satan said, "Oh, you can't eat of that one." But he got her into a conversation, so he got her to gaze upon the tree of forbidden fruit. And they began to talk, and he began to confuse her. And then she, when her husband came in, and by the way, guys, it's not real clear that Adam wasn't there all along. So let's don't put all the blame on her. But he got involved in the conversation, and before you know it, they were so confused that they partook of what God said, do not have anything to do with. You see, Satan will come in, and he will bring confusion, and that confusion will bring chaos, and that chaos will bring corruption, and whenever there's corruption, there's going to be an eruption. You've seen it happen in people's lives. They allow those things to just build up and build up and build up in their lives until finally it just explodes. And if you're nearby, Lord help you. Because when they explode, sometimes they are sorry for it, but not sorry enough to not keep it from happening again. And there you have that referred pain taking place again. But now the Holy Spirit also causes us to have some pain. The Holy Spirit uses conviction. How many times have you said, because of how someone responded or reacted, and you said, "I think they're under conviction"? Now, the Holy Spirit brings about conviction not to confuse us or to cause frustration, but to cause us to be convicted and receive the cure for our sins by being forgiven of our sin. Now, this morning, you've got to decide if there's a problem going on, if there's some pain that's there, is it being caused? First of all, do you have a medical condition? Get some help. Secondly, is it a spiritual condition? Is Satan causing it? Have you been listening to him? Have you been talking to him? Have you allowed him to draw you into conversation? Have you allowed him to draw you into some observations? Have you allowed him to help you come about some conclusions that have nothing to do with God and his word? Or is the Holy Spirit trying to convince you that the path you're on is taking you down the road to destruction? Some of you may be saying, "Well, Danny, that's just the way I am." Okay. So you subscribe to the philosophy that you are the culmination of the summation of the education that you have received through your life. Well, I've got good news for you. Why don't you enroll in God's school of sanctification, and there can be great clarification in your soul today. Let's look at the cure. And I'd ask you, invite you to look at these words that Paul wrote to this church that he loves so much. Verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you, becoming followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of God has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols, serving the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't that a beautiful, wonderful passage of Scripture? And isn't it something that is so good for us to hear today? Someone came up to me after the first service this morning and just thanked me for this message on referred pain. You know, we are all going through it, and some admit it and some don't, but you're going through some pain right now. And some of you are having to go through some things, and you're having to bridle all of that to keep from lashing out at someone else and them experiencing your pain for what you are going through. And some of you in here are experiencing the wrath of others because of what's going on in their lives. How do you deal with that? How do you keep that from happening? Or do you care if it happens or not? You know, just let the chips fall where they may. Is that your philosophy? Or would you like to do something about it? Notice here that the Thessalonians experienced much referred pain. They experienced a lot of affliction to follow Christ. They experienced a lot of affliction whenever they came to know Christ as Savior. And they were in a land where idols were worshipped on every corner. Idols that encourage you to feed your flesh. Let's look at the cure. What did they do? They forsook their sin. Now, is there a sin that's going on in your life? You know it. God knows it. Maybe no one else knows it. But there's a sin that's going on. There's a battle that's constantly raging, and you're not doing anything about it. Or would you like to do something about it? Why don't you just forsake it? Oh, I've tried that. Well, if it can't be done, the Scriptures wouldn't say that it can be done. And whenever we have the power of the Holy Spirit, now look at all these verses that we just read. I'm not going to read them over again, but verse 5 talks about the power that comes with the gospel, the power to experience from the Lord, and not only from the Lord directly through His Holy Spirit, but through God working in the lives of other people. You can forsake your sin. And no matter how many times you may fall down, you keep getting up. I would share with you that it is not sin that ruins a person. It is sinning and not repenting that ruins us. Never forget that. And the Bible teaches us here that they forsook their sin and they had faith in the Lord Jesus and they were faithful. You see, if you have faith, you're going to be faithful. Your faith is going to be expressing itself. Don't tell me what a great person of faith you are and how much faith you have in the Lord and how you believe in God, if there is no evidence in your life, never any fruit, bearing any fruit for the gospel of Jesus Christ, if all you're interested in is yourself, if all you're interested in is maintenance or maintaining a little bit of walk, you know, that little song, just have a little talk with Jesus, that's all somebody, some folks settle for. It's just a little talk instead of a constant conversation. The Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. Always be in conversation with the Lord. And so they were people who forsook their sin. They had faith and they were faithful and they kept their focus. They were interested in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and others knowing Jesus. They kept their focus. I don't know that I've seen anything dismember a church more than referred pain. You're not happy about something, and you begin to just focus on that, and you've gotten your focus off of the Savior. For just a little while longer, I'm going to have to listen to some people say, I don't like the music. I think it's too loud. Now get this. I think it's not loud enough. Sometimes when people tell me it's too loud and we turn it down, then we have people tell me, well, it's just not loud enough. I can't feel it. I can't experience it. I don't like it when we sing this song, or I don't like it when we sing that song. And then some people say, oh, that same song that somebody didn't like is the very song that ministered to them and brought them to their knees in Christ. And I get to experience your pain. Would you just focus on Jesus? Would you just focus on Jesus? I'll tell you something. If it's not loud enough, do what I did. Get you some hearing aids. If it's too loud, get you some earplugs. But the main thing is, think about the Master. If you're not wild about the sermon, listen, let me ask you something. If you're not wild about this church, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I would also just share with you that it may be that you're so stuck on your own pain that you have forgotten someone who experienced your pain for you. And His name is Jesus. Do you know what happened today? Do you know what happened today? You got to see a lady who has experienced tremendous pain and loss in her life. The loss of her husband a couple of years ago. Come to know Christ as her personal Savior. As bad as I hate it, I'd come hear Willie Nelson sing Amazing Grace to see that. Let me take that one back. Do you know what happened this morning? A man came down here, a grown man came down here. And he and I have been praying together about some struggles he's going through and been going through and fighting for a long time. And he came down this morning and said, and one of the things he's been struggling with is whether or not his salvation experience was really real. And I didn't try to talk him into or out of anything. We just prayed together, and he and the Holy Spirit worked that out. He came down here this morning, and he said, what I did that time, some time ago, I know was an emotional experience because everybody wanted me to do that. Brother Danny, I'm here this morning because I want this, and I want to accept Christ as my personal Savior and follow through in baptism, and he did. And then a lady came down, a grown lady came down, and she said, this is where God wants me. This is where God wants me. And she is coming, having already trusted Christ as her Savior, but she comes from a church that they don't do baptism the way we do. They don't do immersion, and we believe that that's the way baptism ought to be. And we are unashamed about that. Jesus was done that way. I like being done that way. I like you being done that way. And she came this morning following through and joining this church through immersion, having professed Christ as Savior. Her son, her grown son, came also. And he came by baptism. And his wife came, moving her membership into the fellowship of the church. I don't care what we sing if that's going to happen. And some of you are thinking, boy, it looks like all they did was dance during Vacation Bible School. You saw the video. Man, all they did was dance. I want to share with you about that dance. That dance were the hand motions, and those children could tell you the hand motions. I can't do all that. Can tell you what those hand motions mean. Even the... We had a child that could barely walk that was learning those hand motions. Now, I don't know if she understood everything about it, but they understood that they were signing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The people at Thessalonica kept their focus on Jesus no matter what was going on around them, no matter the accusations, no matter the people that were upset with them. They followed Jesus. While I'm on this, there was a guy that got kicked out of church for his music. His name was Isaac Watts. And he wrote, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. There were people in the days of first century Christianity who were saying, you're not coming to the temple and worshiping the way you're supposed to worship. But they were worshiping Jesus. And the word spread. And they were people who forgave. What was the cure? Forgiveness of one another. Is there anyone in here this morning that you have someone who wronged you? They wronged you, and they have never come back and admitted that they wronged you. And even now, when they get the chance, they still just kind of stab you in the back, take every shot they can. Anyone in here who has experienced anything like that? Most of us. How long are you going to let that person live rent-free in your mind? How long are you going to let... Now, you can forgive and move on. That doesn't mean that you affirm what they did or what they're doing. Don't misunderstand me. You don't cheapen grace. Even when someone wants to become a disgrace to grace, you don't cheapen grace. But you forgive and you move on without affirming what someone has done. Maybe God will use that to bring them to a place of repentance. But as far as in your own mind, as long as you are allowing somebody who has hurt you to live rent-free in your mind, you start charging them to get in there. You start charging them, say, you're not coming in here. It's going to cost you more than you want to pay. And I want to share something else with you. You don't get rid of things out of your mind and at work without replacing them with things that God wants in there. Whenever Nehemiah kicked Tobiah out of the house in the Old Testament in that story, read that story. He kicked him out of the house, then he came in and filled the house up with grain. When Tobiah came back and opened the door, no place for him to go inside. Forgiveness. Fellowship. Fellowship with believers. I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever seen our church family enjoy themselves more than they did this past week in Vacation Bible School. I mean, they so enjoyed themselves. And they got into it, and the kids loved them. And they enjoyed that fellowship. And then there was something else that happened yesterday. We had a lady in our church who had, she's recently widowed. And she had this tree that fell in her backyard. And I was down there visiting with her whenever her husband had passed. I saw the tree down, and we had to wait until it dried up enough to get in there. And I told her we'd take care of that. Well, I sent out a text message on Friday to several people, and I told them just pass the word. And I said, we have a small tree that needs to be removed in the backyard of one of our church members. And if you can be here, if you can spread the word, well, we're going to meet here at 7:45. On Saturday morning, and so there were 11 of us that came here, and we descended on that tree. We got there a little after 8 o'clock. I was back home at 9:25. Now, I did have. Now, we had a lot of fun, had a lot of fellowship that went on, a lot of carrying on. They did say, Brother Danny, if this is a small tree, I'd like to see your definition of a large tree. But still, we backed up to that tree with the trailer. We got the saws out. We went to cutting and loading and hauled that thing off and unloaded it and back to the house. And I'm telling you, you couldn't pay us enough for the joy, in exchange for the joy that we got in that time of fellowship with fellow believers yesterday. And you got some pain going on? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Get involved in helping others. And you know what? If you know of a problem, if you know of a situation that needs help, let me know. We'll get you some people to come and help and do our best to do that. We're not 100%, but we'll try to be there every percent we can. And something else that they did is they were friendly to one another. They loved on one another. I want to share with you, your job when you come in here is not to see if somebody's going to smile at you. Your job is to come in here and smile every chance you get. Your job is to come in here and shake hands with people and see if you can embarrass yourself by welcoming somebody that's been a member longer than you have. And then, can I ask you to quit doing something? Was that a yes? Would you quit leaving when we stand for the invitation? You can wait a little bit longer for whatever it is that you need to go do. This morning, we had some people leave, and you know what they missed? They missed four people, four adults coming to Christ. They missed it. Unless somebody told them, they don't know about it. Whenever the last prayer is prayed, hang around and show yourself friendly. You'll be amazed at the pain that it removes. Now, would you like me to summarize all those things where you can remember them? Here's what the Thessalonians did to handle their pain. They turned. They yearned and they burned. They turned from their sin. They yearned for Jesus and they burned for the gospel to see others come to know Christ. When that man came down wanting to pray this morning, I said, why don't you pray this prayer with me? But you let it be your prayer. Lord, I turn from my sin and I turn to you. And he prayed that. Lord, I yearn to follow you and know more about you. And he prayed that. Lord, I intend to burn. I intend to burn bright for you. And he prayed that. You see, today you can leave here and just continue to vent. Or you can leave here today and be victorious. You see, there was something that happened a long time ago. When someone took your pain, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus took your pain. And it's amazing what happens whenever we invite Jesus to take our pain. I was talking to my dear friend this morning. We were praying together, as we do just nearly every Sunday. So I was talking to Scott Darby, and he said, well, what did y'all have happen this week? We had Vacation Bible School, Scott, and we saw a number of kids come to know Christ as Savior, and we have a young lady that's going to be baptized this morning. And I said, how about you? He said, well, Danny, he said, just the other day, I was on the phone to a lady 9 hours from here. Now, he lives up northeast Texas, and this person was in Greeley, Texas. Have you ever heard of Greeley, Texas? I knew of a Greeley, Colorado, but anyway. And he said, I was on the phone to her, and I had the privilege of leading her to Christ there over the phone. But the amazing thing is, she had me on speakerphone, and her husband was listening in, and he said, I need to do that too. And he said they both trusted Christ as Savior. And he said they drove all the way, 9 hours. They got a motel room here last night. They're coming down. They're coming to church this morning. They're going to walk down this aisle. I'm going to baptize them before they leave. That's how you deal with referred pain.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.